No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this Inauguration Day 2017. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us. For the first time in more than a decade, Republicans are in control of the levers of executive and legislative power in Washington. Getting an early start on the celebrations last night, some 12,000 Texans and their friends gathered at a hotel outside Washington for the 10th inaugural Black Tie and Boots Ball, a Texas-themed party Governor Abbott described as bigger than the state GOP convention. This technically a bipartisan affair, though clearly most boot scooters were of the Republican bent, since we know several Texas Democrats are boycotting the inaugural festivities. Back in Texas, a state representative has been preparing for another celebration a bit closer to home. As Muslims from across Texas prepare to come to Austin for Texas Muslim Capital Day on the 31st, Republican State Representative Kyle Biederman of Fredericksburg sent out a survey to mosque leaders and Muslim student groups across Texas, asking respondents, among other things, whether they support designating the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist group, and if they're willing to take a pledge regarding the safety of former Muslims. The Texas Tribune reports the head of the interfaith group Texas Impact is urging Texas Muslims not to respond, calling the survey misleading and intimidating. Biederman says he hopes to use the poll results for what he calls a homeland security summit later this month. Biederman's approach appears in line with President Trump's call for a ban on new Muslim immigrants, a position Mr. Trump has now moderated somewhat, pledging to implement what he calls extreme vetting, mapping out a three-pronged approach to immigration. Helping us break those down, Ruth Wassum. She is professor of public policy practice at UT Austin's LBJ School of Public Affairs. Professor, the first step, as Mr. Trump lays it out, would be to temporarily suspend immigration from places with a history of exporting terrorism. What would you have to do to make that happen?
Well, that would probably be identifying those countries, which we already have a list of state sponsors of terrorism.
Okay.
So that, going forward, would be pretty straightforward, I think, in terms of those countries. Now, some of them on the list might be countries where it would be a little controversial. For many years, Cuba was considered a country of state-sponsored terrorism.
Right.
So some of those countries may cause other issues that would they might want to pull from the list for other reasons.
Let's look at the second prong here. What President Trump would do is ask the State Department and the Department of Homeland Security to give him a list of countries in which they have determined adequate screening cannot take place. What changes there?
That all depends on how the new secretaries of state and homeland security want to deem the process that are already in place in many of these countries around the world and where you put the burden of proof. Right now, they have elaborate systems in place. They do extensive vetting of immigrants and prospective immigrants and visitors. So if they said they couldn't do it, they weren't up to the job, that may not look well upon the agencies. On the other hand, if you put the burden of proof on the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Homeland Security to sign off, which is what some of the legislation in the previous Congress would have done, which would have said they would have to certify that process, that may make the secretaries more cautious about whether they would keep countries on that list. So a lot of it will hinge on who you hold accountable.
The final element of this three-prong approach that Donald Trump has laid out would limit admission to those who share our values and respect our people. So a values test, as he frames it. Now, is there any precedent for a values test?
Not necessarily values. We've had ideological screens like barring communists and anarchists, things like that, and fascists. We still bar people that are Nazis or members of the Nazi Party. But a values test is not something we have done before. What would be analogous is when someone takes the oath of allegiance to be a U.S. citizen, then they pledge their loyalty to the government and the principles of the United States. That's analogous to expect someone who's coming to visit the United States, coming to study here, coming to go to Disneyland, or say maybe invest, start some businesses here, to expect them to ascribe to our values. That would be unprecedented, I think.
It sounds like this is something that cannot be accomplished with a flip of a switch or overnight by any stretch of the imagination. We haven't even mentioned you're going to have to do something with that application form, right?
What, to add these things? You could, and that takes going through the obviously the rules of changing the application. But the laws on the books, there's probably some of these early steps of screening could be done sooner. But the third part about adhering to our values, that I'm not sure where in the process he would want that to happen. I would presume someone would have already been approved, and you could add it as a final step. But that all of this, you know, is in the details, and I don't know what is meant by values.
Who gets to decide what values are sufficiently American? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think that would be a difficult assignment. And the other issue, of course, with that is the people that would be most dangerous are the ones that have no trouble raising their hand and swearing to values, knowing full well they're not going to do it.
Ruth Wassum is professor of public policy practice at UT Austin's LBJ School of Public Affairs. Professor, thanks so much for taking time to speak with the Texas Standard.
My pleasure.